ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Today we'll proceed to 12th verse. Arjuna uvacha,
Arjuna uvacha,
Param Brahma Param Dhamma,
Param Brahma Param Dhamma,
Pavitram Paramam Bhavan,
Pavitram Paramam Bhavan,
Purusham Shashvatam Devyam,
Purusham Shashvatam Devyam,
Adidevam Ajam Vibhum,
Adidevam Ajam Vibhum,
Ahustvam Rishayah Sarve, Devarshir Naradastatha,
Devarshir Naradastatha,
Asito Devalo Vyasah,
Asito Devalo Vyasah,
Swayam Chaiva Bravishime,
Swayam Chaiva Bravishime.
Arjuna said, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala and Vyasa confirm this truth about you. And now you yourself are declaring it to me." So here Arjuna is now replying to Krishna after hearing the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is now glorifying Krishna as the Supreme Truth in various words: Param Brahma, Supreme Brahman; Param Dhamma, Supreme Abode; Pavitram, Supremely Pure; Paramam Bhavan, the Absolute Truth; and Shashvata Purusham, the Eternal Supreme Person, in various ways. This is actually the result of understanding God. When one understands Krishna, then the next step is to glorify Him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is very natural for someone. So one should study Bhagavad Gita exactly in the mood of Arjuna. Then one can also learn to appreciate Krishna as the Supreme. As Arjuna declares here Krishna to be the Parabrahma. So the jiva, the soul, is Brahma, but Krishna is Parabrahma, the Supreme Brahman. So Brahman is finite, is limited. Parabrahma is infinite. He is all-encompassing. In fact, even the Upanishads very clearly declare, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Yeko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman. That Yeko, one, is mentioned in the Upanishads to be one Supreme. And Bahuna means many subordinates. In the later chapters, Krishna will explain clearly the difference between the individual soul and the super soul, which is He Himself. So there Krishna says, He tells Arjuna, this body is called as Kshetra, and in this body there is a knower of this body called as Kshetrajna. So in every body there is a Kshetrajna, who is the knower of the individual body. So he says, Idam Shariram Kaunteya Kshetram Itya Vidyate Kshetrajnam Yemam Yoveti Tamprahu Kshetrajnam Iti Tadviraha. He says that this body is called as Kshetra, a field. Why it's called as a field? Because every one of us, we are all grazing in our own fields. Just like, imagine when you are born as a newly born child and then you spend, say, a few years at home, you had a field of activity, isn't it? You knew your house, you knew your garden and courtyard, in the front of the house and some place to play and do your naughty activities. And you don't know anything beyond that. Maybe afterwards you start going to school, then your chetra is little bit more extended. And still it's not much. You are home and your school, what else you know? You don't know much. And then if you grow further, maybe you may join a company or a college anywhere, then you go, little bit chetra is extended. But if you all carefully observe our own life, our chetra is very limited. Our chetra means our field of activity is very limited. Even those who are boasting themselves to be traveling worldwide all the time, flying here and there, their chetra is not beyond this globe. They are not going to another planet. So, field of activity means just like a child is satisfied in one sandbox where he plays different games. Similarly, we all have a field in which we are doing performing activity. So that is called as Kshetrajna. And the Lord says later, Kshetrajnam cha api mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. I am also a Kshetrajna, Kshetrajnam cha api mam vidhi. I am also a Kshetrajna. Where? The sarva kshetreshu bharata. I am in all the bodies, he says. So you are a Kshetrajna in your body, but I am a Kshetrajna in all the bodies, he is saying. Which means that the Lord declares there that he is a knower of all the bodies. He knows you, he knows me, he knows everyone here. He is seated in the heart of everyone as a super soul. As a tiny individual soul and super soul, they both are seated in the body, just like two birds sitting in a tree. Like that the Lord is seated in the heart, and he knows all the bodies. So Krishna says that. So here Arjuna is glorifying Krishna as Parabrahma, the Supreme Brahman. Often, even the impersonalists also glorify God as Parabrahman. Here Arjuna is calling Krishna as Parabrahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we talk of Lord as Parabrahman, we have to know why we call him as Parabrahman. Why Krishna is to be called as unique Supreme Personality of Godhead. That we will see in a pastime, where another point which Arjuna says is also confirmed in that pastime. He says, Nahi te Bhagavan Vyaktim Vidur Devana Danavaha. That he says later. Nahi te Bhagavan Vyaktim Vidur Devana Danavaha. Even the Devas and the Danavas, that means the demigods and even the demons, do not know your full glory. Everyone can know but a part of you. Little bit of your knowledge they may have, but nobody can claim that they know about you fully. So we are reading from, this is a wonderful pastime from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I would like to read some section from this, where it is established how Krishna is the Supreme Brahman, Parabrahman. Here there is a conversation between Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami. So Sukadeva Goswami tells Parikshit that I am going to tell you something very confidential about the Supreme Lord. And generally such confidential subject matter is not spoken to ordinary people. But still, spiritual masters explain to a submissive disciple even subject matters that are very confidential and very difficult to understand, depending on the qualification of the disciple. So here Sukadeva Goswami, considering Parikshit to be a fit candidate for hearing this, he is explaining to him. So he is telling, after this pastime of Aghasura, after saving all the boys from the mouth of Aghasura, Krishna called all his friends to the bank of Yamuna. So he showed them, just look at the banks of Yamuna, how beautifully it's filled with beautiful lotuses. The atmosphere is so fragrant and just such cool breezes are blowing here. And there are birds chirping and the humming bees are also giving a buzzing sound that's so sweet to hear. And Krishna said, I don't think there is any better place for us to sit and have our food, have our lunch. And the sand is so soft and fine. Let us just sit here and let's all have food together. So he called all of them. And they all sat together beautifully, like in our temple you find Krishna sitting with his friends. You have seen that picture? That's a beautiful picture. So Krishna is sitting in the center and all the covered boys are surrounding him. Just like a whorl of a lotus in the center and all the petals of the lotus surrounding the whorl of the lotus. So they all are sitting together like that to have their food. And Krishna tells them, do not worry about your cows and calves. Do not worry about them. And let them be eating their fine grass happily. And we will have our lunch. And the calves also can drink water in the river. So in this way, they all sat together. And all the boys, covered boys, they all kept their lunch. Some of them had baskets they had brought. And some of them kept it on leaves. Some of them kept on tree box. Some of them kept on some flowers. In this way, whatever natural items are available, the covered boys picked up and they kept their lunch in that. And Krishna is always called as a yajna bhog, which means he offers the food that is only offered as yajna in this world. But here was Krishna who was accepting the food from different lunch boxes of his friends. And he was rejoicing and he was joking and playing with them while having his lunch. It is said, all this explanation is given in this place because when Lord Vishnu appears, he comes with his paraphernalia like Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma and all that. Whereas here we find Krishna, when he is about to eat his food, he is tucking his flute on the right side of his hip. And he is tucking his that buffalo horn with which he blows on his left side. And also he has the cow herding stick which he tucks to his left side. And then he is sitting with all his friends and eating. And while they just begin to eat, there is a bumblebee which comes smelling the prasad. It's flying there thinking he will also get some prasad. So Krishna tells him, hey, why have you come here? Here is Madhumangal Brahman. Are you going to sting him and kill him? And all the devotees laugh at Krishna. In this way, Krishna keeps constantly joking with his friends while eating the food. And all the covered boys open their lunch boxes and they show to one another. And they all take out different items and give it to Krishna. And Krishna accepts from them. And Krishna gives them something in return. In this way, in great joy, all of them are tasting prasadam without bothering about the calves. And the calves, seeing the lushy green grass in the forest, little by little they started grazing them and slowly started moving deeper and deeper into the forest, allured by the green grass. And while the friends were eating like this, all of a sudden they turned around and saw that their calves were missing. And they all became frightened and they weren't anxiety. And Krishna told them, okay, you don't worry. You all peacefully have your food. I will take care of the calves. So he stood up and he left them all there, and he went in search of the calves. And he couldn't find them anywhere. He climbed up mountains. Then he went into mountain caves. Then he looked even into the bushes. And he couldn't find them anywhere. In this way, he was searching in all different places. Just before this turn of events took place, Brahmaji was observing the killing of Agasura pastime from the top. Not only him, even all the demigods also. And after that, Brahma was little confused about Krishna's activities. So he wanted to show his own potency and prowess to Krishna, and to also verify whether Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can the Supreme Personality of Godhead be so simple, you know, carrying a palm full of rice and dahi. He's carrying buttermilk, isn't it? What do you call it, buttermilk? He's carrying this on his left hand and carrying a stick for herding the cows and carrying a flute and buffalo horn and all this. So Brahma was little eager on one hand to show his own prowess, some of his own prowess, and also to check Krishna, check the supremacy of Krishna. So it was Brahma who had hidden the calves which Krishna was searching. And Krishna appeared to be confused, and he was searching for them here and there. When he came back, he found even the cowherd boys were missing also. And he was staring here and there, moving here and there, exactly like a dramatic player would act in a drama stage. Like if you are given a particular role in a drama, you will try to do it in the best way possible. Isn't it? If you are told to act that you don't know something, how should you act? You have to act exactly as if you don't know something, right? If you act as if you know it, then the whole taste of the drama is lost, isn't it? That's like when Pralambasur was taking this Balram away from the covered boys, you know. Balram's face was ridden with anxiety. So Acharya has given explanation why his face was ridden with anxiety. One of the reasons they say Balram wanted to appear as a natural covered boy. If Balram shows that he is God and he doesn't have any anxiety, then what is the taste in that pastime? If Balram says, anyway, I am God, I have no fear. And there is no fun in the pastime. So he appeared to be very much in anxiety. And he was also in anxiety, oh, this boy who appeared like a covered boy, you know, he is carrying me far away from Krishna and he is actually a demon. And then Balram was in anxiety. How many more demons have come in the form of covered boys now? They might be putting Krishna in trouble. So he was in anxiety. So Acharya has given many explanations like that. In the same way here, Krishna appears to be searching the calves, searching the covered boys, and he could not understand what is happening. He appeared to be confused. And Brahma took all the cows, all the calves and the covered boys, and took them to a faraway place and kept them in a cave and put them in some kind of mystic sleep. So they cannot realize what's happening. In the meantime, Krishna, just to give pleasure to the Vrajabasis and also to Brahma later, Krishna expanded into the same number of calves and covered boys. It is said in Bhagavatam how, by using his Vasudeva future, Krishna expanded so precisely as each one of those covered boys. The characteristics and their qualities and their speech and the garments that they wore and the kind of ornaments that they were wearing and the garlands they were wearing, the bugles they were carrying, the flutes and sticks they were carrying, and somebody has a raised nose, somebody had a stout body, and Krishna exactly imitated those forms. He had expanded into so many forms of covered boys and the calves, precisely like them. Whatever lunch boxes they carried, same lunch boxes, like that. Exactly Krishna expanded like that. And with all these new expansions, the original group, where is it? The original group was kept in the cave by Brahma. But with this new group of calves and covered boys, Krishna returned back in the evening, back home. So Krishna was ordering all the calves and also the covered boys as if they were different from him. Actually, they were all his own expansion. But Krishna was behaving just like that. So when they all... See, here there's interesting thing said here. By expanding himself in this way, beautiful Krishna proved the statement, Samagra Jagat Vishnumayam. Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. Or the word Sarvam Kalvam Idam Brahma. Here Prabhupada writes, here you can see. Krishna thus proved that he is everything, that he can become everything, but that still he is personally different from everything. Matstani Sarva Bhutani. Achaham Teshu Avastitaha. This is Krishna, who is understood by Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva philosophy. Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamyavavashyate. Krishna is always complete, and although he can create millions of universes, all of them full in all opulences, he remains as opulent as ever without any change, Advaitam. So what is Prabhupada explaining here is, all of us are jivas, tiny part and parcels of Krishna. But if Krishna wishes, he can expand into as many number of covered boys and calves, or as many number of jivas also. If Krishna wants, he can expand. He has that power, like he is doing here. But he doesn't do that. What does he do? he keeps himself as an individual person and he wants to reciprocate with the jivas. That's why our philosophy is called as Achintya Veda Abheda Tattva. Otherwise, Krishna can expand his own forms into so many, like he expanded in this case. And there is no joy, there is no fun there. Krishna doesn't want to reciprocate with himself, but he wants to reciprocate with the jivas who are tiny jivas. So here Prabhupada explains, when we talk of sarvam kalvam idam brahma sarvam vishnumayam jagat, which means Krishna can become everything. That's why he says matstani sarva bhutani but nachaham tesha avasthitah. Although everything is resting in me and still everything is not in me, in those two verses we studied in 9th chapter, 4th and 5th verses. So here in this way Krishna expanded very beautifully as covered boys and calves and returned home. And all these calves, they all entered their different cow sheds. And similarly all the boys entered their different homes. And the mothers who were all at homes waiting for the boys, they heard the sound of the bugles that the boys were playing. And they understood that their child has come back. Immediately they came out of their homes to receive the boys. And as soon as they saw their son, all of a sudden the love of the mothers for their child profusely increased. Generally every mother, they love their child more than the neighbor's child, isn't it? Like, you know, you ask any mother, there are dozens of children, isn't it? They love everyone, but then they have a specific extra love for their own child. That's very natural for any mother. And here the mothers, when they saw their children, they immediately picked them up, they embraced them and they fed them milk from their own breast. And in this way, they bathed them, they decorated them, they did everything. But today, they found somehow their love for their children had increased millions of times. Mothers could see that. Actually, we know the reason why, because it is Krishna who expanded like this by his own yogamaya potency. And he knew that in Vrindavan, all the mothers would come to the house of Yashoda to see Krishna. And they always loved Krishna more than their own child. They always loved Krishna. And just as they would care for their children, they always wanted to care for Krishna. So this was their longing. This was their lalasamayi in their hearts. They wanted to, serve Krishna more than serving their own child. They were waiting for such an opportunity. And here Krishna gave them the opportunity. Here Krishna became their own child and took service from them. And they all were not even aware. They thought it is my own child. They were serving Krishna like that. And when all the calves entered the different sheds, the cows, they were mooing loudly and calling for all the calves, and they were licking their bodies with great affection. And here is an interesting scene. Almost 1 year passed like this. At the end of first year, some 6-7 days before the first year ended, one day Balaram was observing these things. So he was wondering, it seems to me that all these mothers are loving their children much, much more in this past 1 year. And all the cows and calves, they are also, the mother cows are attached to their calves too much. So why is it, he was thinking. In the meantime, Balaram was observing one day, at the top of the Govardhan Hill, the covered men were herding the bigger cows. And the smaller and the other calves were being herded by the smaller boys. They would take care of the calves. So these calves, which actually Krishna expanded as those calves, they were actually bigger calves. They were being taken care by the smaller covered boys. So they were in the bottom of the Govardhan and the bigger cows were in the top of the Govardhan. Now the bigger cows, they had got some new offsprings now, smaller calves, very, very tender. You have seen small tender calves, they will be frolicking everywhere, very beautiful. So they are supposed to drink milk from their mother. But the bigger cows, on that particular day, although they were supposed to give milk for those calves, while they were grazing in the top, some or other, when they turned towards the ground, they saw those bigger calves. And immediately they were taken over by great affection, and raising their tails high and raising their heads high, They were jumping as if they had only two legs. They were jumping so fast. The top, they were coming down the Govardhan, and there were many thorny twigs, thorny bushes. They didn't care for any of them. They just stamped on them and they came running to the ground towards those calves. And the coward men who were grazing them on the top, they became angry and at the same time shameful, because they are supposed to take care of the cows, and the cows are running and they are not able to catch them. So they came running behind them carrying the stick very angrily. And those cows came down and they started feeding milk to those bigger calves. Those bigger calves are not supposed to drink milk. They are supposed to directly graze the grass. But they started feeding them milk and licking their bodies. And the bigger coward men were very surprised. How can they, spend all the milk for the bigger calves who don't need them? But as soon as they came down, they saw their small coward boys. And immediately they were overcome by affection. Immediately they picked them up, they embraced them, they kept them on their hands and shoulders and started smelling their heads, giving them love and affection. And they found all their anger was totally appeased. It was gone. It totally disappeared. So they didn't know that these boys are actually, all their sons were actually Krishna. They are expansions of Krishna. And they just could not leave their sons down. They were embracing. Now Balram was watching. He was wondering, why do these children need so much love today? Why do these bigger calves need milk? What's happening? Although they don't need so much love, the mother cows are giving so much milk to the calves and these cowherd men are not leaving the children down. What's happening? Maybe some miracle. In fact, Balram thought to himself, even I am getting too much attracted to everyone. What is the matter? He was wondering, Balram also. And he inquired from Krishna, what is happening in Vrindavan? And then Krishna told him everything very briefly. What all had happened during the time when Brahma had come. He explained to him and Balram understood how Krishna's yogamaya potency is working. So in this way, all the Vajabhasis, to their heart satisfaction, they served Krishna like that one full year. And Brahma returned after that one moment. And almost the 1 year period was over. And Brahma came to check whether all those calves and boys whom he kept in the cave were safe. And of course they were all there. But then he wanted Krishna to be wandering in disappointment all alone. But what did he find? He found Krishna playing with covered boys and the calves were also grazing. And Brahma was shocked. What is happening? Then again he went to the cave. He was wondering which is original, which is copy. He was wondering. He was confused. And repeatedly he went back and forth several times and his head was reeling. Yeah. That's because Lord Brahma wanted to mystify the all-pervading Lord Krishna, who can never be mystified, but who on the contrary mystifies the entire universe. He himself was put into bewilderment by his own mystic power. So Prabhupada says one interesting thing here in the purport. He says, in a similar position are the scientists and philosophers who want to overcome the mystic power of Krishna. They challenge Krishna saying, what is God? We can do this and we can do that. But the more they challenge Krishna in this way, the more they are implicated in suffering. The lesson here is that we should not try to overcome Krishna. It's a very deep lesson Prabhupada is talking here. He is saying, Brahma wanted to test Krishna. And the scientists of the modern times also have the same mood. They want to show that we have done something better than God. When the Titanic ship was sent, they said, the ship which even God cannot sink. And God sank it later. Isn't it? You can see that. So scientists create many things and they think sometimes we are better than God. You see, God didn't create fan, we have created fan. No? People think like that. But some scientists say, if you are sweating extremely, putting fan is not a good solution. Because if you put fan, then your sweat won't come out of your body and your body will have impurities stored inside. They won't come. So this is one example. And for every equipment you have, we can think of so many problems associated with them. So when modern man tries to compete with Krishna, a modern scientist, and tries to do something, he may do it, but then what Prabhupada says here? But the more they challenge Krishna in this way, the more they are implicated in suffering. And suffering comes, suffering follows that. So in the modern times, man thinks that we have increased the electronic gadgets and facilities and communication system, transportation systems, and things are so fast. We have done so many things, but then all these things only have, they have made a big mess out of our life. We have only increased our sufferings by them, by challenging God and inventing something which we think God didn't do and I have done it, like that. Similarly, Brahma increased his own trouble. The power of Krishna is just like a government that cannot be overcome. First of all, there are laws, and then there is police power, and beyond that there is military power. Therefore, what is the use of trying to overcome the power of the government? Similarly, what is the use of trying to challenge Krishna? You see? See, there are already laws in this world which are governing us. If somebody breaks the laws, then there is police, which is Yamaraj. Yamaraj is the police superintendent of this universe. And then if one, of course one cannot escape Yamaraj. Prabhupada says about that is military power, he says. There are 12 sakshis for every activity that we do. So no one can escape doing a wrong deed and not getting punished. So one may have to be punished by the government and rebuked by people in general. But if one escapes that, then there is Yamaraj waiting afterwards. So in this way, no one can challenge the authority of God. And you know this famous verse, isn't it? Yasyaika nishvasita kala mathavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanatha. Who is the jagadandanatha? No, jagadandanatha is Brahmaji. He is the first created living being. But here, the jagat and the nathaha, it says. Nathaha means many. Nathaha is plural. Nath is singular. Nathaha means plural. That means Brahma is not one. There are many Brahmas, depending on the number of Brahmandas. If there are crores of Brahmandas, there are crores of Brahmas. So Brahma thought himself to be very great, not knowing that there are many more Brahmas. You know this pastime of how when Brahma once came to Dwaraka, four-headed Brahma, he thought himself to be very great and he was very proud, and Krishna sensed Brahma's pride and he wanted to do something by which he can smash his pride. So when the doorkeeper came back from Krishna, he asked Brahma, Krishna is asking which Brahma has come. And Brahma felt very embarrassed. So as soon as he entered inside, he asked Krishna first, before I speak to anything, I want a clarification for this question. Why did you ask your servant which Brahma has come? Is there anybody besides me? Like, you know, sometimes amongst very big people, there is M. Patel and H. Patel and B.B. Patel and D.D. Patel, you know. Like, you know, the grandfather and then, you know, father and then son and his brother also, you know. They all will be Patel. But then they will all have different initials. And sometimes what happens in families, one of them flourishes a lot and another one is not so, you know, not so good in business. So sometimes if you call Patel, they will feel little embarrassed. You know, you have to call me with my particular name, you know. But everyone has a certain initial, they have different. So here Brahma thought, he is the only one and there is no one besides him in this whole universe. You see, he is creating all the living beings within this world and he has not seen anybody controlling him directly. So Brahma or Indra can be put into bewilderment like that, thinking themselves to be the greatest. And Brahma asked him, why did you ask that question, that I am the only one in this universe? Why did you ask that which Brahma has come? Then Krishna didn't say anything. He just smiled and he called for all the different Brahmas to come from different universes. And in different universes, according to different dimensions, they have different heads. They may have 4 or 10 or 12 or 20 or 50 or 100, 200, 500. And there are decks of heads of Brahma. Several, like you have 3-tier, 4-tier. So Brahma had different tiers of heads. But the most miraculous thing is, although they had so many heads, still they were looking beautiful. All the different heads. So huge Brahmas came. And this Brahma felt as if he's a rat amongst elephants. He was feeling. You are seeing all different Brahmas coming from different places. Actually, it's Krishna's potency that he made all Brahmas feel that I am the only one here. Every Brahma thought that I have come from my universe to meet Krishna and no one else is there besides me. Everyone was feeling like that. And Krishna gave this particular Brahma a darshan of all the Brahmas. So he made him stand in one corner and watch all the miracles that were happening. And all Brahmas came and bowed down to Krishna with all their helmets, you know, clashing to the ground. And they were asking Krishna. So Krishna asked them, and they were all asking Krishna, what can we do for you? Oh my dear Lord, please give us the order. And Krishna asked, what's happening in your universe? Is everything alright? Are demons troubling? And Brahma said, no, everything by your mercy is going on well. So he told them, okay, you may go back now. He sent them back. And then when they all left, this Brahma was feeling very, very tiny. He understood who he was. That is what he said. Jeevanti loma vilaja jagadanda nataha. Many, many nataha, many Brahmas are there like that. There are many huge Brahmandas. Ours is just considered one of the smallest Brahmandas. So here also, such a tiny Brahma is trying to test Krishna because of thinking himself to be very great. So we can see Brahma's realization. You know what he said? He is saying, my dear Lord, just like a snow in the dark night or like a glowworm in the daylight, in the same way my prowess and my mystic power in front of you has been totally defeated. Your mystic potency and my mystic potency, there is no comparison between the two. What is my potency? Prabhupada is talking about potency. Potency, there is a Sanskrit word for potency called as Shukram. The word Shukram means potency. This comes in Ishopanishad also, this word Shukram. Saparyagat Shukramakayamavranam Asnaviram Shuddham Apapavidham. There the word Shukram comes, potency. What is Lord's potency? Krishna is so great that he doesn't need another external material body like we all have. Like the soul needs another material body in this world, isn't it? Like the soul is sitting inside a material body. And the material body is subjecting us to so many sufferings. But Krishna doesn't have a material body like this. He comes in his self-same spiritual body. And it says akayam, avranam. There are no veins. There is no blood flowing in his body inside. If you take a cross section, what is the cross section of his body? It's all Satchidananda only. There is no heart separately, intestines, and so many nerves, and there is separate brain here. No, the whole body is total spiritual substance, Krishna's body. It's totally Satchidananda Vigraha. That's why he says, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. Total body is like that. So, Sapariyagat Shukram Akayam Avranam Asnaviram Asnaviram. There is no nas in his body. It's a pure body, it is said in Ishopanishad. So there is a Shukram, which means Krishna can do any activity with any of the limbs of his body. With his lotus feet, if he wants, he can eat. And with his hands, if he wants, he can see. And he can do anything. Like I can see all of you here, but I cannot see behind what's happening behind. Isn't it? I don't have eyes here. If I had two more eyes here, I would see backside also. Isn't it? If I had two eyes here, I can see all the audience in all directions, isn't it? But now I have a range of vision. I can't see beyond. Krishna can see behind also. He can see everywhere because his whole body is absolute. He can do any activity. That is why it's called as Shukram. Prabhupada explains. Shukram means he is all potent. And he can do any activity with any of the limbs of his body. Like we see, you know, he just touched a man in his neck and the neck was cut off, isn't it? As Rama, he puts his lotus feet on a stone and it becomes Ahilya like that. And when he wants to create a child from his own navi, immediately he creates a lotus flower and he creates Brahma. So this is Lord's inconceivable potency. He can do many wonderful things like that. From anything he can do, any limb of his body, he can do anything like that. So Brahmaji is saying here that, you know, my potency in front of yours is like a glowworm in the daylight. Glowworm is so insignificant. In the daylight, nobody can even recognize the light of the glowworm in front of the sunlight. Similarly, the snowdrop in the dark night cannot be seen. Only in the early morning hours you can see it. Because you know the snow, it shines like a diamond in the early morning. But do you know where it gets the shine? Anybody knows? Yeah? From the sun, yeah. If there is no sunlight, then the snowflake cannot glow like that. So that has to be understood. That is why he is saying that in the daylight snow may glow, but in the night it has no value. Nobody can even see the snowdrop. Similarly, glow worm also. The night it is showing its light, but daytime it has no power. So he is saying that in front of you, my dear Lord, I have no power. So actually I told you Brahma's prayer immediately, but I didn't tell you what Krishna did. Huh? In the meantime, and when Brahma came. Actually seeing Brahma's bewilderment, moving here and there and getting confused, Krishna did not want to put him in confusion more. So he expanded all the covered boys into beautiful Vishnu forms. They were like beautiful bluish clouds, and their garments which they were wearing, Pitamba, that was dazzling like yellow lightning, golden lightning. It was shining, and they were all having Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma, and they were wearing beautiful kundal and mukut and everything. Their bodies were shining, they were wearing beautiful garlands and Siva Sachina on their chest, Kastubha Mani and everything. So, and he saw so many forms, not one or two. All the covered boys and calves were gradually, they all changed into Vishnu forms, and Brahma observed it. And here you see what all, there were also devotees like Shiva and other demigods offering constant prayers, and they were even chanting and dancing also for the pleasure of all the Vishnu forms. Then Lord Brahma saw that Kala, the time factor, Swabhava, one's own nature by association, Samskara, reformation, Kama, desire, Karma, fruitive activity, and Gunas, three modes, their own independence, being completely subordinate to the potency of the Lord. And they all had taken forms and were also worshipping these Vishnu Murtis. In this way, all the Ashta Siddhis were also worshipping the Vishnu Murti forms. And then here it is said, thus Lord Brahma saw the Supreme Brahman, by whose energy this entire universe with its moving and non-moving living beings is manifested. He also saw at the same time all the calves and boys as the Lord's expansions. And here he says, the Supreme Brahman is beyond mental speculation. He is self-manifest, existing in his own bliss, and he is beyond the material energy. He is known by the crest jewels of the Vedas by refutation of irrelevant knowledge. So here, Brahma, who is the husband of Saraswati, and Saraswati is actually goddess of wisdom, goddess of knowledge, and he is actually husband of Saraswati, but he was bewildered by Krishna. So what does this show? What lesson do we learn from this? Is there anybody here who is superior to Saraswati, goddess of learning? Isn't it? Can any of us, can you imagine Saraswati, you will see Saraswati always holding the Vedas in her hands. And she is the one who gives the Vak Shakti to people to make them speak things. And here there is husband of Saraswati, which means that, you know, he can get anything he wants from her. All the knowledge is under his control. And he is bewildered by seeing all these things. So rising and falling again and again at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna for a long time, Lord Brahma remembered over and over the Lord's greatness he had just seen. And he saw that Krishna, again after the sight, then gradually everything cleared up in front of his eyes. And again he found Yamuna, again he found the green pastures, again he found the boy Krishna with all his covered boys. He was holding a palm full of rice and curd in his hand, carrying a stick for the cows. And he was speaking to the covered boys like an ordinary boy. Seeing this, Brahma got down from his swine carrier and fell at his feet like a golden stick. He fell on the ground. That's why it's called as Dandavat. He did Dandavat. He did. And then he offered wonderful prayers. It comes in the next volume. Some of the prayers are so wonderful. We could say a few prayers from that. You know what example he gave about himself? He said, sometimes a child in the mother's womb may kick the mother. Mothers can feel that. If somebody is pregnant and the child is grown up, sometimes mothers will say that the child is kicking inside the womb. But will the mother become angry with the child for that? In the same way, he is saying, I am inside this Brahmanda like a child, thinking myself very great. I am also kicking, showing my own prowess. But Krishna, you are like a mother and father. You should tolerate my childish proclivities. Don't become angry with me. You just tolerate me. So he is praying to Krishna like that. It's a wonderful prayer. And he is saying that no one can estimate your glories by their own speculation. No one can understand. Mayavadis and impersonalists are thinking that now we have understood Supreme Brahman as impersonal. They are thinking like that. If anybody says, I know God, that means he doesn't know. That is a verdict in Vedanta. Vedanta says, one who says, I know, he doesn't know. One who says, I don't know, he knows, it says. Which means that a person who knows a bit of God, he realizes how great Krishna is. See, there is a very famous verse Brahmaji said. I think this comes 10:14:38. It's a very famous verse. 10:14:38. This comes at the end of the prayers. Jananta eva janantu. All of you say. Very nice verse. Jananta eva janantu.
Jananta eva janantu.
Kim bahuktya name prabho.
Kim bahuktya name prabho.
Manaso vapusho vacho.
Manaso vapusho vacho.
Vaibhavam tava gocharah. So he's saying, Jananta eva janantu, he's saying. Those people who say, I know about Krishna, let them say that, I don't care, he says. Let them be proud that they know God. But kim bahu uktya name prabho. Kim bahu uktya, many people claim that I know God. But name prabho, no, I won't say that. I'll never say that I know God. Manaso vapusho vacho vaibhavam tava gochara. My dear Lord, your potencies are so great and miraculous that by body, mind, words, nobody can ascertain your greatness. You are unlimited in your potencies. Like that he is glorifying Krishna. In fact, when he saw all the coward boys and the Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj and coward girls, he glorified their good fortune. There is another verse, he says 10:14:32 or something, I think. So there he says, Aho bhagyam, nanda gopa rajaukasam. This is a very famous verse. No Bhagavad Sapta will be done without quoting this verse. Any Bhagavad Sapta you go, they'll quote this verse. You all can repeat this. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam.
Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam.
Nanda gopa rajaukasam.
Nanda gopa rajaukasam.
Yanmitram paramanandam.
Purnam brahma sanatanam.
Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam.
Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam.
Nanda gopa vrajaukasam.
Nanda gopa vrajaukasam.
Yanmitram paramanandam.
Yanmitram paramanandam.
Purnam brahma sanatanam.
Purnam brahma sanatanam.
This means, aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam. What a great fortune, what a great fortune. Of these covered men and covered women and covered children and these cows and calves and all the residents of Vraj. What a great fortune these people have got. Nanda Gopa Vrajaukasam. Why? He's saying, Yan Mitram Paramanandam. Purna Brahmam. The Purna Brahma Parabrahmam Sri Krishna has made friendship with them and they are all acting in the capacity of friends with Krishna. What a great fortune these people have got. That eternal Supreme Personality of Godhead has come to this Vrindavan and is dealing with everyone as a friend. Who can be more fortunate than them? Similar good fortune was also glorified by Shukadeva Goswami. Ittam satam brahma sukhanu bhutya. That verse he says. So different people see Krishna differently. But there he glorifies in the last line, he says, Sakam vijaru kritapunya punjaha. These covered boys who are playing with Krishna different games, they must have done heaps and heaps of sukriti or pious activities in the past lives, due to which now they have achieved this elevated status of playing with Krishna, dealing with Krishna in such an intimate way. Like that he glorifies. So this word Parabrahma is used by devotees also. There is one devotee, a Vaishnava poet, who sings a song. He says, Shrutim apare smriti mitre bharata manye bhayanta bhava bhitam Ahamiham Nandam Mande Yasyalande Parabrahma. There he uses the word Parabrahma. He says, some people are reading the Shrutis to cross over the cycle of birth and death from this material world. Others are more interested in Smritis, Puranas. Some are in great fear of the material world. So they are reading Mahabharat to understand how to cross over this world. But he says, I don't care for all these different scriptures, he says. Then what do you care for? Ahamiha Nandam Mande. I surrendered to that Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard the Parabrahman, He is playing like a small child, crawling. He is saying, Ahamiha Nandam Mande Yasyalinde Parabrahma. So it's not that the Parabrahma word is a monopoly of the Mayavadis. Or only they can use, only the impersonalists can use that word. Even devotees use Yasyalinde Parabrahma. They call Krishna as Parabrahma. As Arjuna is here glorifying Krishna as the Supreme Brahman. So in this way, Brahmaji, after glorifying all the Vrindavan Vasis, he prayed to Krishna that you cannot be understood by any amount of speculation. But if one gets a small drop of your mercy, a small trace of your mercy, then such a person can understand you. So he says in that verse, Atapite deva padambu jadvaya prasadalesha nugrihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno nachanjaye ko pichiram vichinvan. So having understood this, achieving special mercy of Krishna is the only way to understand his inconceivable nature, then Ramaji prays, please give me some opportunity to reside in Vrindavan in some form or other, maybe like I become some mountain so that all the Vajavasis, they climb on me and they put the dust on my head by which I can become blessed by that dust particles Vraj Raj from their feet, so I can begin to understand you. Like that is praying. So those four mountains, what are the names, anybody knows? Those four mountains in Vrindavan, which are the four heads of Brahma. Brahma assumes those four mountainous forms. Dhangad, Bhangad, Mangad, Vilasgad? Vilasgad, yeah. Isn't it? So there is a verse in Bhagavatam which talks about that. That comes in the next volume. Where he requests Krishna to give him a form like that. So in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is addressed as Parabrahma, the Supreme Brahman. And we are tiny Brahma. We are tiny living entities. How is it understood that Krishna is God and we are tiny? In the very same verse which I said, Sapariyaga Chukram Akayam Abranam Asnaviram Siddham Apabhidham, it says, Kavivir, it says Kavir Manishir Paribhu Swayambhu. Kavi means Lord is most intelligent. Manishi means the greatest philosopher. And it says, Swayambhu means he is totally independent. He doesn't depend on anybody. And then it says, Yatha Tatitortan Vyadata Chasva Shashvatibhya Samabhyaha. All the living entities go for begging from the Lord for different benedictions. And Lord is the giver of benedictions. He is called as a Varadarshaba. And all the living entities are going to beg from the Lord. Now, every living entity needs the mercy of the Lord, without which they cannot become happy. Somebody may say, I will qualify myself and I can become happy. Like for example, assume somebody studies law. Now they have finished LLB, LLM now. So can they automatically profess themselves to be high court judge? They need the consent of the government, a superior authority, to post them as a high court judge, without which they cannot become self-proclaimed high court judge. They can't become like that. In the same way, even if we qualify ourselves by many, many good qualifications, ultimately everyone needs the mercy of God in order to be blessed. Without His mercy, no one can become happy in this world. Not possible. That is why every living entity goes to the Lord to beg for something, beginning from, Krishna explains, Yami Mam Pushpitam Vacham. You go for sense gratificatory pursuits to the Lord, give me this, give me that. And this begging business goes on even up to the point of begging moksha from the Lord. Isn't it? Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Even the moksha is also being begged. So there are many impersonalists thinking of moksha, but this moksha is a big myth if one wants to become God. But the begging business will continue eternally, as long as one does not admit one's servitorship to God. When one accepts one's constitutional position as servant of Krishna, then this begging problem gets over. Then one can become equal to God, or sometimes even greater than God. Like you find Yashoda is greater than Krishna, she's binding Krishna. Covered boys, many of them are sitting on Krishna's shoulders. So Prabhupada would ask, why do you want to become God? Why don't you become greater than God? Isn't it by surrendering to Him? So love is such a powerful force that it can make one greater than God. The meaning is that the binding factor between God and the living being is love. So unless one understands that, then one can never approach Him. On the other hand, those who try to become God, they repeatedly fall down. Once when Giriraj Swami Maharaj came to Prabhupada and asked Him, that time it was early days, he asked, "Swamiji, there are so many gurus saying that I am giving the truth. I am giving the truth. Everyone is saying the same thing. So whom should we follow? And I am confused," he said. And Prabhupada gave a very brief reply. He said, "You tell me, do you want to become God or do you want to become a servant of God?" So he put a counter question to Him. Then he was immediately wondering, how did Prabhupada come to know that in my room I have written in big letters, "I am God." So Prabhupada asking, "I want to become God or I want to become servant of God?" How did Prabhupada know? See, Prabhupada was so sharp and intelligent. And then he didn't answer. Then Prabhupada replied. Prabhupada said, "If you want to become servant of God, then God can give you support by giving you, take Bhagavad Gita, He can send you a guru, you can render service to Him, and in this way, God will, water the devotional creeper that you have, and then gradually you can achieve Him and serve Him in the spiritual world. But if you want to become His competitor, then why should God encourage the competition?" Prabhupada is asking like that. So in this way, when the living entity thinks, "I will become God," he is just cheating himself. That is why this verse says, "Yatha tatyo," according to "ye tama prapadyante tam sateva bhajamyaham." As the living entity goes and begs, Lord says, "Okay, take this bhiksha and be happy." So Lord is actually the bhiksha giver. So who bhiksha giver naturally has to be superior, isn't it? He cannot be one amongst the lot like that. So as we see in the Upanishads or in Bhagavad Gita, we find that the Lord has His own unique position as Parabrahmam, who stands supreme beyond the Kshara and Akshara living beings. Kshara living beings are the fallen ones. Aksharas are the liberated ones. But Lord says, "Yasmat Ksharam Atitoham Aksharadapi Chautamaha Atosmi Loke Vedecha Pratita Purushottamaha." This is a very important verse. He says, "I am beyond the fallen living beings. And don't think I am one amongst the liberated ones. I am beyond the liberated ones also. Yasmat Kshara Matitam Aksharad Cha Api Uttamaha." That is why I am called as Purushottama. Even a liberated soul cannot call himself a Purushottama. Even a liberated soul is not Purushottama. A liberated soul is called as Akshar, because he has achieved a great Kutastha or Akshar, very high position. But even a liberated soul cannot be considered equal to Krishna, because the part is a part and the whole is the whole. So Krishna is the whole Parabrahma. That is why Arjuna is glorifying Him. Parabrahma Param Dhamma Pavitram. So Param Dhamma means Krishna is the ultimate resting place of everyone. That was said by Brahma also. Brahma, while glorifying Krishna, he said while asking for forgiveness, he said, "I know very well that I was born only from your navel. You only created a lotus, and from that lotus I was born. And I was not born directly from you, but I was born from Vishnu, Narayana. And I know that even that Narayana is subordinate to you. So even you are the shelter for that Narayana also. So you are the shelter of all shelters." You remember we were discussing this point some classes ago? Just like if you make a pot, mud pot, the resting place for that mud pot is Bhumi only, from which you have made it. Similarly, the resting place for everyone and everything in this creation is ultimately Krishna. So He is the Param Dham. Also it means the ultimate resting place where one can achieve all happiness and peace, or as Prabhupada calls it, as fountainhead of all liberties. This is the word Prabhupada uses, fountainhead of all liberty. Going to heaven, is it liberty or not? What do you think? It is. Who said no? It is liberty. Why is it liberty? It's a limited liberty. Because going to heaven means you don't have a thirst, you don't have sorrow, you don't have hunger. And as soon as you are born there, you have a youthful body. And you remain youthful, you don't grow old. And you can enjoy in that youthful body for a long period of time. So that is some kind of liberty, surely. Some kind of freedom. And going beyond this material world to Brahman, is it liberty or not? It's a greater liberty. You know, because you don't have to suffer the pangs of birth and death, disease, old age and all that. You know, you go beyond this world. But the fountainhead of all liberty is entering into spiritual world. And like these covered boys who are so fortunate souls, playing with Krishna, eating with Krishna, dancing with Krishna, every day going for herding the cows, and in their pure spiritual bodies, you know, living eternally with Krishna. That is called as fountainhead of all liberties. So he is saying, you are the Param Dham, you are the supreme abode by achieving which one can be the most happiest. And he's calling him as Pavitram. You are the supremely pure. Anything or anyone who comes in contact with Krishna becomes supremely pure. You know, there is a story of about Ganga, you know, in Akbar and Birbal. Once Akbar asked this question in the court, which is the most sacred river? He asked. Birbal said, Yamuna. He said, why? Because you know, Yamuna is in Vrindavan and Krishna plays in Yamuna and covered boys play in Yamuna. Yamuna is very famous, he said. But then Akbar asked, what about Ganga? And the people said, no, Ganga is not a river. Ganga is a flow of sacred knowledge, he said. So he glorified Ganga. There is a very famous verse. This is from Puranas. Ganga, Ganga iti, yo bruyat. One who chants, hey Ganga, Ganga, two times, if he just chant like this, yojananam shatairapi, even hundreds of yojanas far away, even if one shouts Ganga, Ganga, muchyate sarva papebhya vishnu lokam sagachati. Such a simple verse. Anybody can tell? Is there any small child who can tell the meaning of this? Kundan can tell the meaning of this, isn't it? Kundan can tell the meaning of this. See, Ganga, Ganget, yo bruyat, yojananam shatairapi. Shatai means 100. 100 yojanas far away, somebody chants. Muchyate sarva papebhya vishnu lokam sagachati. Understand the meaning? Yeah. Simple. We'll chant this. Ganga, Ganga, iti.
Ganga, Ganga, iti.
Yo bruyat.
Yo bruyat.
Yojananam shatairapi.
Yojananam shatairapi.
Muchyate sarva papebhya.
Muchyate sarva papebhya.
Vishnu lokam sagachati. So, having become freed from all kinds of sins, one attains the Vishnu Loka, it says, by chanting Ganga. But why did Ganga become so famous? What makes Ganga become so famous? Yes? Anybody knows? What is Ganga? Ganga is nothing but Viraja River, which is outside this material world, which is the border between material and spiritual world. Material world and spiritual world. It is a river that separates material and spiritual world. So this Viraja, in that Viraja only Lord Vishnu is lying, Mahavishnu is lying, in that Viraja river only. Viraja ocean, causal ocean. So those causal ocean waters that enters into this Brahmanda when the Urukrama or when the Trivikrama Lord, Vamana, when he raises his foot and cracks the wall of the universe, then that Viraja waters enters into the universe. And it washes the feet of Vishnu, bottom of the feet of Vishnu, and then it flows down. That's how it becomes Ganga. Very, very auspicious because it is Charanamrit. Every day we take a little bit of Charanamrit, but the whole Ganga is Charanamrit. Like that. So Lord is called as Pavitram. See, Arjuna is calling him as Pavitram. That water which washed the Lord's feet, it is so holy. Even today, so many thousands and thousands and millions of people go there to take bath and they download all their sins in Ganga and come back. Isn't it? So many people. Ganga is so pure, capable of taking away all the sins of so many sinful people. So Lord is Pavitram. So his feet is so pure. Some water that washes the feet, it becomes so Pavitra, so pure. So this verse also says that Saparegatrukamakayam Avranam Asnaviram Shuddham Apapa Vidham. The Lord is called as Shuddham. Shuddham has many meanings. One is the Lord's body is totally pure. It is said when the gopis were dancing in the rasa dance, at one time when they got very tired, there were drops of perspiration on their face, which was like pearls. And when Krishna wiped those perspiration, they felt as if somebody is bringing some beautiful lotus flower near to their nose. They felt like that, as if they felt touched by a lotus flower, and Krishna's hands were so fragrant, it is said. And Krishna's hand, touch of Krishna's hand is also like a rose, it is said. So Lord's body, as Kuntimarani gives, there is no better explanation you can give for the Lord's body. Nama pankaja malini. Nama pankaja netraya. Namaste pankajangraye. So the Lord's whole body is like a lotus. She is saying, Nama pankaja nabhaya. Your nabhi is like lotus, and you are wearing a lotus garland. And your eyes are like lotus petals, and your feet is also like lotus. The whole body of Krishna is like lotus. And it is fragrant also, so it is shuddham. It is completely shuddham. Not like the material bodies which produce all horrible substances. Even we don't like our body. Isn't it? Anybody is here who is attached to the body? You like your body? It's a horrible body. You like your body very much? Very honest. Attached. Yeah, we can only be attached. That's why we are here. He's saying. Yeah. Actually, sometimes you have to consider how horrible is his body. There is a famous verse by Shankara. That's a nice verse. It says, Yavat pavano nivasati gehe tavat prichati kushalam gehe gatavati vayu deha paye gatavati vayu deha paye baryam vibhyati tasmikaye. He is singing yavad pavano nivasati gege. As long as the air, prana, is in your body, all people will come to you. Tavat prichati kushalam gehe. They will ask your kushalam. So how are you? Fine. All right. Your health is all right. Your money is all right. Your treasury is all right. Your relatives are all right. Everyone will come to ask you. But then he is saying, gatavati vayu deha paye. When the air leaves the body, bharyam bibhyati tasmin kaye. Even the wife will run away from the corpse. She will be afraid to see the dead body. When the very same body which she loved the most, when one dies, she will fear. It's like booth. The very same body. People fear very much. After 4 or 5 hours, when it starts smelling, people fear very much. So Shankara is telling the reality of this material world. So horrible is our body. So we should not become attached to our bodies. But we should. So when can we get rid of this material body? When we understand how Krishna's body is so divine, so transcendental, so soft, so pure, so shuddham, and keep contemplating on that again and again. When we keep remembering it, then we will not have to take material body again at all. Then when we leave, then we will get a spiritual body. We will develop a spiritual body. The soul expands into a spiritual body, and then we will go back to Godhead, and then we can serve Krishna there. That's why it is shuddham, apapa vidham. Large body can never be touched by sin. Shukadeva Goswami said, carrying Krishna in their hearts, the great souls wander all over the surface of the globe, and they never become touched by any sin. So how much more Krishna must be pure, that residing in the hearts of his devotees, he is purifying their hearts. Like that Shukadeva Goswami is glorifying like that. So Lord's purity is such that his body is prophylactic and antiseptic. Those are the properties he has. You know what is antiseptic? Antiseptic means if you get a wound or something, you apply a tincture. Immediately it will not get septic. Isn't it? Similarly, if you have done sin, there are some kind of pratihara or something like that, some mantras you chant in order to get rid of that sin. That's called as antiseptic. But prophylactic means sarva roga nivarani. That is prophylactic. That means it assures you that it will cure the current disease, and it will assure that no more disease will come to you. So Krishna is both. That is the meaning of apapa vidham. He is prophylactic also. So anybody who contacts Krishna, he gets this antiseptic prophylactic elixir, which Kulashekara is also talking about. What he says? What is the third line of that verse? Krishna rasayanam piba. Krishna rasayanam piba. He says, idam sharinam parinam pishalam patate avasyam shatasandhi jarjaram kim avashadim prichasi moda durmate niramayam Krishna rasayanam piba. He says, drink this Krishna rasayan. He says, so Lord is pure, and by coming in closer and closer contact with Him, then one can also become pavitra. Krishna is supremely pure. There are so many pastimes we read in Krishna book about Krishna's purity, how He delivered Kubja from her sins. In fact, Krishna confidently says, Aham tuham sarva papyabhyo moksha ishyami, come. Do not fear. You come to me and surrender to me. I will deliver you from all sins. Who can say that? Only Lord who is pavitram can say that. He is so pure that He can take away all the sins of the living entity and make him free. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also did that with Jagai and Madai. He took away all their sins onto Himself. Lord can do that. Because Lord is like the sun. Sun can absorb urine, but it will never become contaminated. Sun can absorb urine and stool, but it will never become contaminated. It can maintain its purity. So Lord Krishna is also like that. Pavitram. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. Shashvata Purusha means you are not an imitation Purusha like us. You are a Shashvata Purusha. So imitation Purusha means there is another verse where the word Purusham comes in Bhagavad Gita. Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunte Prakriti Jan Gunan. The living entity is also called as Purusha. But here, the living entity is sarcastically addressed as Purusha. He is a tiny imitating Purusha who is also trying to enjoy the material nature. Jan Guna means that which is born of three modes of material nature, all the varieties of things in this world, he tries to enjoy them. But here, Krishna is called as a Shashvata Purusha, one who is always the enjoyer. The enjoyers in this world will be knocked off at one time. And they will be stripped off all their beauty, wealth, fame, name and everything. Whereas Krishna is a Shashvata Purusha. Adyam Purana Purusham Navayavanam cha. Like that. So here Arjuna is not only glorifying Krishna as God, but he is giving supportive evidences of the sages also. There Prabhupada explains that somebody may say Arjuna is glorifying Krishna because he happens to be his friend. So he is giving another supportive evidence. He is saying, Ahustvam Rishayas Sarve Devarishi Narada. Devarishi Narada says you are God. Asito Devalo Vyaso Swayam Chaiva Bhavishime. Asita Devala Vyasa. They are all very great rishis. They all are declaring that you are God. And then thirdly he says, Swayam Chaiva Bhavishime. You are yourself declaring that you are God. Just a few verses ago you said, everything emanates from me. Matta Paratram Naneta Aham Sarvasya Prabhu and everything. So three proofs in this verse. What are the three proofs? One is Arjuna's proof, declaring Krishna to be God. Second is sages and saints proving Krishna to be God. And thirdly, Krishna himself. So in this way, one should accept Bhagavad Gita as spoken by Krishna properly. That we will study in the next verse. Sarva Maitra Dhritamanya, we will discuss in the next week. So Arjuna accepted Krishna like this. That's why he succeeded. And if we try to not follow in the footsteps of Arjuna, but we have our own concocted way, then no one can achieve success. So Krishna is that supreme Purusha or Purushottama, or the supreme Brahman that is glorified in all the scriptures, was complete in all six opulences. Hare Krishna.